And welcome back inside the cave this morning. Pat Hayes along with Jeff Bowman. And every Thursday at this time, we check in with our Michigan insider. And we've got John Borton on the other end of our line this morning, the senior editor of the Wolverine magazine. Good morning, John.
Morning, Pat. Good to be with you.
And the Michigan fans had a nice victory last week to celebrate, a 47-14 win over Western Michigan. And this week it's a little bit different, but I guess you have to savor that victory and look forward maybe to another victory this coming week.
Well, there's no doubt you savor every victory you can get when you only won two games last year. Michigan fans had plenty to celebrate on Saturday. More home wins than they had all last season because they didn't win one at Michigan Stadium. B, the fact that Michigan Stadium could be filled. And you saw 109,000 pack into there. And you and I were sitting up in the press box looking at it all. And it was just a magnificent sight after a year where all of that had gone away. So, yeah, a good day all around for Michigan. Now you look at a Washington team that it's a different look on this game than we might have thought even a week ago because Washington loses its opener to Montana. That means, A, that maybe they're not as good as we thought, and B, that they're probably pretty still dangerous because they're an angry team, definitely not wanting to start out 0-2. So big game at Michigan Stadium on Saturday night.
Well, I guess one of the big questions facing the Wolverines, the loss of Ronnie Bell, how is that going to affect the team, John?
Well, it's tough in many ways. I'll tell you what, Ronnie Bell was not only one of their best players, probably their best receiver, he was a real leader. He was voted a captain. He was one of the guys that complete effort guy, so sold out, so bought into making this a turnaround excellent season. I had a one-on-one interview with him for the cover story in our last Wolverine magazine, and here was a kid that was just so fired up and so motivated, and he played a quarter and a half of football that was magnificent, even on a play that got waved off because of a penalty, and then he goes out with injury. It's very, very difficult, and I know these other receivers have been speaking out, and they're committed to making up as a group for him and stepping up and doing a job and winning for him. And Ronnie Bell himself, you know, he's already back barking out encouragement and orders to his guys at practice, running around in a not running around, but riding around in a golf cart, and doing everything he can to help this team.
Well, you had to be impressed. I was impressed with the offensive line play. Defense played very well. Special teams, excellent. I think every phase of the game was an A or a B plus for the Wolverines this past week, and they certainly had a great start to the season.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. No sacks, no turnovers, explosive plays all over the place, so all these long touchdowns that they made. Now, the thing is, and some of your listeners may be thinking this right now, yes, but it's Western Michigan. Okay, a couple things about that. A, Western Michigan was one of the better teams in the nation at putting pressure on quarterbacks last year, and Michigan made sure that there was none of that. And there was a team that could move the football pretty well defensively. Michigan adjusted after a first drive, and the starters didn't give up any more points. But the flip side of that, B, is you understand that, the tests are going to get tougher, but you can only play the team that runs out of that tunnel on any given Saturday at Michigan Stadium, and the Wolverines did a good job handling the task at hand.
Well, John, Jeff Bowman here with you. And, you know, going back to one of your initial statements talking about with Washington being a little bit of an angry team, and I think part of that, too, you wonder how much they overlooked Montana thinking ahead to Michigan. So, you know, they were one of those teams that probably is not as bad as what they showed last week, and then coming in angry, it's going to be an interesting thing for Michigan to try to figure out what Washington team really shows up.
Yeah, angry and desperate and maybe a little bit more well-armed, because we know that in that first game, Jeff, that four of the top five Washington receivers did not play.
Right.
They were out with various nicks and bruises and such, and whether or not the majority of them will be able to come back for Michigan, I would think if they do, that's a major boost for Washington. Yeah, if you take this one lightly, then you're not paying attention, because the Michigan had the great opener a year ago, if you remember, against Minnesota at Minnesota, and everybody thought, wow, okay, this is going to be a pretty strong season. They turn around a week later, and against a very bad Michigan State team, they completely laid an egg in Michigan Stadium. They can't afford to have that sort of a week one to week two turnaround 2 years in a row.
Well, one of the interesting things, too, I know when we talked last week, there was a little bit about, you know, who was injured and who may play, who might not. And, you know, Zinter was used a little bit here and there. Are there any people that kind of stood out where you're like, oh, I'm glad they did play, or maybe they're not ready yet? Is there any kind of that makes you wonder a little bit still who's going to be ready for this week?
Well, I think you'll see a little bit more from Zach Zinter. He is healing. He was nicked up. One of the big ones to keep an eye on is that Dalen Baldwin, the transfer wide receiver. We talked to Josh Gattis, Michigan's offensive coordinator, yesterday, and he said he did not know for sure if Dalen Baldwin was going to be able to play in this game, because, you know, he got a little banged around towards the latter part of the fall camp, and once Ronnie Bell went down, he was good enough to be able to get in there, and all of a sudden we see, you know, this electric 69-yard touchdown connection. You bring in the freshman quarterback and J.J. McCarthy, and he scrambles away from pressure, unloads this deep pass across the field to Dalen Baldwin, and it goes for 69 and a touchdown. So I think that was, if I was to identify because of the circumstance, anybody that it was good to see out there from a Michigan standpoint, it has to be Dalen Baldwin.
And we saw the player's name who came in for Bell on the punt returns, but he was pretty tentative out there, making fair catch calls just about every punt.
Yeah, that'd be Caden Colasar, a legacy for the Wolverines, and according to Jim Harbaugh, he is the most sure-handed of the Wolverines that they can put back there at this point. But we didn't really get to find out that much, because most of those punts were dropping and hitting the turf and rolling dead. I would say in the long run, as he gets more and more comfortable fielding the punts and taking off, your most explosive option is going to be A.J. Henning, who we saw on a 74-yard touchdown end-around on Saturday. He's a guy that I think is going to eventually step into that role, but what they want to make sure is, okay, what's job one? Catch the ball. Don't fumble it. Make sure that you're good there, that you have a possession to even talk about. And then it's, okay, who's our most explosive guy that could really do something with it? I think once A.J. Henning gets to that point, he's probably going to take over.
Let's talk about the quarterback play. Of course, Cade McNamara had a great game, and even J.J. McCarthy coming in, throwing a touchdown pass, he looked good, and even the third-string quarterback that came in.
Yeah, you're talking about guys, those top two that combined for 76% of their passes completed, 216 yards, three touchdowns, no turnovers, no sacks. I mean, it was just a very efficient, very good day for Michigan quarterbacking, and that goes to a lot of input. You've got the offensive line. You've got a running game that handed you 335 yards on the ground. That makes it automatically easier for a quarterback. Cade McNamara, you know, there were a lot of people after that game that saw J.J. McCarthy make the one big throw and scramble away from pressure and said, whoa, there's your guy. But I don't necessarily agree with that, because you've got Cade McNamara, who did everything that he was asked to do. Like I said, no turnovers. He completed 9 of 11. He had just a couple passes tipped away at the line of scrimmage. Completes almost 82% of his passes, 2 touchdown passes, and guided this offense the way they want it guided and run. So I really think that you had the best combination, the best possible scenario for Michigan. You got your starter in, you played him, he did well, he ran the offense like it's supposed to be run, and then you had the luxury of having a big lead, so you get your freshman in there. They're going to need a strong number two quarterback. It looks like they're on their way.
Well, it was good to see that Michigan rolled up over 500 yards in total offense, and it was a pretty close pass versus run. It was good to see the three running backs be successful in that game last Saturday.
I'll tell you what, the revelation in that group to other people, not necessarily to Michigan coaches, was Blake Corum, because you know, he's still technically a freshman because he got a free year last year, and you know, he was just magnificent on Saturday. 14 carries, 111 yards, averaged almost 8 yards a carry, and burst away for the big long touchdown run. We saw him as the workout warrior in the off season. I call him Mini Hulk, because he just built himself up in his arms, and I saw flashes, honestly, of a Mike Hart with better speed. Because this kid really has some quick, good feet. And, you know, he was obviously not the lone ranger there. Hassan Haskins is still extremely solid. They love him as the thunder to Blake Corum's lightning. 70 yards in that game and a 22-yard touchdown run himself. This has the potential to be a very good rushing attack. And, you know, they've been saying all along they've got the people in the backfield, and you add in the element of those end arounds, 74 yards out of A.J. Henning and 43 out of Roman Wilson. That's a weapon as well.
Yeah, and I think, you know, Corum showed flashes of brilliance last year as a freshman. He would kind of surprise you and went, wow. Wait till he kind of grows up a little bit, and definitely he showed that this week, and I think that's good to see. And getting Donovan Edwards some touches as well was nice. And, you know, and you talked about the end of rounds, and I think that's something when you talk about losing a Ronnie Bell, and, you know, maybe you lose a little bit of what you can get out of that on the receiving side, but having some of those receivers and being able to do some of the other things on the ground with them is definitely, I think, what you may have to make up a little bit of what you're losing with Ronnie Bell in the actual receiving side of it.
Yeah, you need to use all your weapons, and that's what Josh Gattis said that Michigan wants to be all about. They've got good, explosive players. They appear to have quarterbacks now that are going to be throwing the ball to the right team and taking care of it. And if they can keep that up, you've got something going. One of the things that Gattis mentioned, you mentioned the flashes that you saw out of Blake Corum last year. He said the reason you didn't see more flashes was because Blake Corum was so anxious to get things going and just to take off that he wasn't as patient as he could have been and that he has learned to be. And you saw that on Saturday where he would hesitate for just that second, wait for the block, wait for the crack to open, and then explode out of it. I think he's a different running back from his first freshman year to what has become his second.
Of course, Michigan, a 7-point favorite against Washington on Saturday. Do you think that's a reasonable amount of points?
I think it's a reasonable amount of points to get people interested in both ways as far as wagering. But I think that Michigan has the potential to make it more than that. I really think that this could be a 14, 17-point game if the Wolverines have a combination of the sort of efficient offense that they showed against Western Michigan and continue not making any of the big mistakes. And then you put in the factor of night game, Michigan Stadium. Folks are excited to be back. They are going to be on go. And if you have that element while the Wolverines are playing defense that could really have an impact on Washington, I think you have the potential to get on a little bit of a roll.
John, we are out of time. Boy, this segment has gone quickly. We want to thank you again for being with us today. And tell folks how they can subscribe to the Wolverine Magazine.
Well, you can subscribe to the Wolverine Magazine by calling 800-421-7751. Ask Pat Hayes how he likes it. I know he has spoken on our behalf before. But and you can also join us every day on thewolverine.com. You'll find plenty of some free material there and sign up for even more behind-the-scenes insights.
Great, John. Thank you very much for being with us, and we'll talk to you again next Thursday.
All right. Thanks, Pat.
All right. John Borton from the Wolverine Magazine on this segment of Inside the Cave. Don't go away. We'll be back with our last segment coming right up.